with a temperature of 55. 55 temperature of 50.
CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge Team Internet. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RagTube portion. And tonight being Saturday night, we're going to begin with Alpha through Delta. But before we do that, we're going to recognize pre-net check-ins, Echolink stations, and brand new amateur radio operators. So starting with pre-net check-ins, we have K4XMR, that's Mel, and Mel is in Prosperity. W4FCM, that's Fred, bring with him. N4IEI, that's Miss Isla there in Traveler's Rest. KG4PFI Don and KG4QLQ Linda there in Piedmont. And KI4LZI, that's Andy in Table Rock. K4RJN, that's John in Brown Summit. N4JRB, that is Jim, and he's in Greer. W4DF, that's Don in Boiling Springs. KD4HEY, that's Jim in Piedmont. N4ASW, that's Tony in Asheville. Bring with him KQ4JSK, that is Kim, also in Asheville. KI4LJG, that is Bob in River Falls. KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville. AA4GH, that's Gus in Punta Gorda, Florida. K4XYM, that's Scott in Greenville. And KC4NZ, that's James in Little Mountain, South Carolina. Good to have all of the stations that checked in via the pre-net check-in. That's exactly what it's there for. We don't have any Echolink stations at the moment, so we're going to check for brand new amateur radio operators who have never checked into a net before and aren't quite sure of the protocol. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest. Okay, doesn't look like we have any brand new amateur radio operators at this moment, but we will keep checking as we're having plenty of training sessions and testing sessions. So tonight being Saturday night, we're going to begin the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with Alpha through Delta. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an A through a D would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
DJW. Everybody on the net, please check in. Kilo Bravo 2. Bravo Yankee Quebec. KB2, BYQ, Dave and Easley. I'll be negative and negative tonight. 73s to you and everybody on the net.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KB2BYQ, that's Dave and Easley. Good to have you back on the radio with us, Dave. We missed you while you were gone. Appreciate you checking in with us this evening. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW. Team Dave, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
Okay, net control, like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick, bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle. They're all over in Piedmont. Good to have you with tonight, Rick. Tell Miss Lorena and Miss Michelle we said hello. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, we're moving on up to the Echo through Hotel group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an E through an H. We'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
Name Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-ray. KO4HKX. That's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight, Dave. Thanks for calling the net, sir.
JW. Please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4ECN Harry and Cameron. I'll be negative negative tonight, Dave. Thanks.
For DJW. For your 4 Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene and Taylor's negative and negative. Over.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose, North Carolina. Here's our Sunday night Net Control operator. Be sure and check back by tomorrow night with Patrick at the same frequency and the same time. Good to have you with us tonight, Patrick. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. KC4EZN, that's Harry over in Candler, North Carolina. Sounding good tonight, Harry. Appreciate you being here. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. And W4FHJ, that's Gene and Taylor's. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Gene. You're sounding good. Any other stations in the Echo Through Hotel group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, that leads us to the India Through Lima group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. And would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW. Kilo 4, Juliet Foxtrot Oscar, and I am James, and I'm up on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. That's where I'll be negative and negative, saying 73s for each one of you.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JFO. This is James, sounding good from Tuxedo, North Carolina this evening. Good to have you with tonight, James. Appreciate you taking the time to check in, and hope you're having a great weekend. Any other stations in the India Through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, moving right along, we'll move up to the Mike Through Papa group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an M through a P. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW, this is Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Juliet Whiskey. That's KQ4OJW Daniel in Seneca. Please check me in, and thank you for calling the net.
DJW. Kilo Quebec 4, November Lima Uniform. That's KQ4NLU. This is Ken in Greenville, and I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KQ4OJW. That's Daniel in Seneca. Sounding good tonight, Daniel. We do appreciate you stopping by and checking in with us this evening. And KQ4NLU, that's Ken in Greenville. Good to have you tonight, Ken. You're sounding good. Appreciate you taking time to check in. Any other stations in the Mike Through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, that brings us to the Quebec Through Tango group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a Q through a T. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW. Please check in November 4, Sierra Mike Hotel, and 4SMH, Josh and Greer. Good evening to you and Amy and all on the net. We'll be negative and negative tonight.
DJW. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima, Golf, KO4QLD. This is Chris Liberty, and I'll meet negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize N4SMH. That's Josh, sounding good from Greer this evening. Good to have you this night, Josh. Hope you're doing well. And KO4QLG, that's Chris in Liberty. Sounding good, Liberty. And from Liberty, Chris, appreciate you taking time to be there. Any other stations in the Quebec Through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that brings us all the way to the patient group, the Uniform Through Zulu group. Station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a U through a Z and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
AW. Dave, please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That is K4XB. My name is Tommy. My location is Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on that.
All right, Net Control, I'd like to recognize K4XB, that is Tommy in Southern Greenville County. Good to have you this night, Tommy. You're sounding good. Let's go ahead now and open it up all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter and you call it all and you'd like, check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW. Please check in Kilo Bravo 8, Yankee, Quebec, Alpha. Duncan and Easley. I'll be listening, but I'll be negative and negative. 73s to everyone else other than that.
For DJW. Thanks for calling the net again. It's always good to hear you call the net. I enjoy it a lot. Please check in. Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo, Charlie, 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. we make our home in Greer. Donna will be in and out, but I'll be here for a bit after. And I hope everybody has a good night. And remember, turn your clocks forward. Leap forward tonight. Lose an hour of sleep, in other words. 7-3.
Okay, Net Control would like to recognize KB8YQA. That is Duncan in Easley. You're sounding good tonight, Duncan. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. And KK4JBQ, that's Larry. Bring with him KC4MFK, that's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. And Larry, I've got you down for comments, so we will be back to you shortly. And it should be very shortly. Anyway, I enjoy it when you hang around for the RAG2 portion. Appreciate you doing that. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW. Hey, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home in Easley, no traffic, no queue tonight, and it's 10 days till spring.
Okay, Net Control like to recognize KI4DOS, that's Gary. Bring with him K3JOY, that's Miss Joy. And Easley, Gary is our Wednesday night Net Control operator and all things SwapNet. Good to have you with us tonight, Gary. Tell Miss Joy we said hello. And yes, looking forward to warmer days and greener grass and less rain. Appreciate you bringing that to the net with you tonight. Hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW, please check in. Whiskey, Golf 4, Mike Charlie, WG4MC, Matt West from Greenville County, B-Nave and Nate at 7-3 on the net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Thursday night Net Control operator. That is WG4MC, Matt, over in Greenville. You're sounding good, Matt. Do appreciate you taking time to check in this Saturday evening. One last call, all the way through the alphabet. A through Z, Z through A. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
You and Miss Amy both are well. Please check in with T4, India Oscar Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Good to evening, my day. Still have a time to all the rest.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize W4IOE, that's from Fletcher, North Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Sid. Sid calls the 14664 net tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with a PL tone of 91.5. 14664, 8 o'clock tomorrow night with a PL tone of 91.4, 91.45, or 91 point something. There's only 1 point in the 91 range. Anyway, Sid, appreciate you being with us this evening. Tell Miss Beverly we said hello. And you're right there at the noise floor, right there. Not too much above the noise floor, not too much under the noise floor. You're right about equal to it. Just thought I'd let you know propagation's not doing us any favors this evening. And it looks like we have an EchoLink station. EchoLink station's only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
W4DJW, good evening, Dave. Check in, KA4PQA. Kilo Alpha 4, Papa Quebec Alpha, Stephen and Greenwood. Good evening to yourself. Good evening to yourself in the net. No traffic. No traffic and no round table.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA4PQA. That is Stephen sounding good from Greenwood over EchoLink. Good to have you tonight, Stephen. Hope your weekend is going wonderful for you. And we do appreciate you taking time to stop in and check in with us this evening. One last call, all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW. Kilo 4, Tango, Romeo, Juliet. Blue and Crappers, I'll be nervous and nervous.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4TRJ. That's Bill over in Calpins. Good to have you as night, Bill. You sounded good. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. This is W4DJW now securing the former portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so, and we'll now begin the RAG2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG2s. And the first one up on the stump this evening is KK4JBQ. That's Larry. Larry called W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
4DJW.
KQ4DJW. This is KK4JBQ. Well, Dave, I'd like to start by saying that among those of us who are here every night, and there are a bunch of us, I being one of them, we are grateful that you step in so many times when things just don't go right for our net control operators. They just can't make it. You fill in. You jump right in there. And you've taken on, you know, at least one day, I think it's Saturday, as a day of your own. So, just so I don't miss an opportunity to say thank you, there you are. That's number one. And number two is, I was serious. Tomorrow is the day when the clock should have been set back at 2 a.m. So, nah, I'm sorry, set forward. You know, and I made the mistake. So, there we are. And I heard it said that confession is cathartic, or that is self-healing. And so here's my confession. I set all the clocks in the kitchen this evening. I was going to get a jump on that. It's a room that Donna has trouble with because, I mean, crying out loud, there's a cooking timer. There's there's a clock on the stove. There's a clock on our radio that's right there. And clock on the microwave. There's four devices right there within 3 square feet. And she has trouble with them. Now, I don't have that much trouble with them because I worked as a watchmaker. And my first duty when I walked into a shop, cold. I didn't read an ad or anything. I just walked into the shop and says, I'd like to work for you. Sometimes that works. I'd like to work for you. And someone asked me, says, well, what have you done? And I says, I can do anything. Well, you have to be, you know, full of yourself to do something like that. So I says, I'll do anything. And so he says, okay, fine. I need some help here. And so he had me set all the clocks every day. No kidding. This shop was full of clocks. Many of them were in for repair. And in order to determine whether the clock is repaired, you have to track its timekeeping and then reset it to the proper time and then let it keep going, you know. So I set all of our clocks back. In other words, tomorrow would have been 2 hours in the arrears. 2 hours behind. How about that?
W4DJW, the Blue Ridge Community Internet with KK4JBQ. Well, Larry, we appreciate you letting us know that tomorrow is the day we spring forward. I always say spring forward and fall back. Spring forward in the spring and fall back in the fall. But appreciate you bringing that to our attention. I was not thinking about it at all. I've got two clocks downstairs and one upstairs that I know of that have to be manually set. And all of the other ones just do it all. They're connected to a computer that's connected to Internet of Things that they all do it themselves, so the Internet updates them. But that's pretty good. Yeah, and you're right. When you take a job, position like that, that reminds me there was a period of time around the dot-com boom, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that I was going out contracting on my own. And you're absolutely right. You have to go there a little bit full of yourself, right? The other people don't. They want to know that you have a lot of comfort yourself in doing whatever it is they're going to need to be done. But a shop full of clocks, that could be a lot of work. Were there any cuckoo clocks? When I say cuckoo clocks, like the old German cuckoo clocks, where it's got a weight that is shaped like a pine cone. and you pull one side of the chain and the pine cone comes up, and it takes at least 24 hours for the pine cone to make it back to the ground again. Did you have any of those kind of clocks, or were they different clocks?
That's an interesting question. When you walked into the door, it was a rectangular shop as far as customers could see. So you walk in the door, the far wall was all cuckoo clocks. There was glass. You know, this is a commercial building, so it's mostly glass front. There was glass around one half of the those were anniversary clocks. That's the toughest thing I ever tried to regulate. And interspersed with them here and there were tall clocks, like grandfathers and, you know, that kind of thing. And there were mid-century electric clocks. I mean, there were all kinds of things. He did not refuse. You know, I worked for a guy who would not refuse a job. He didn't care. He looked at it. He said, oh, yeah, it's broke. So when do you want to pick it up? He wouldn't look into the availability of parts. He wouldn't, make sure he had a familiarity with it. He didn't do any better for me either. So he gave me anniversary clocks. He gave me cuckoo clocks. He took the tall clocks, grandfathers, grandmothers, that sort of thing. The mantle clocks he gave me also, along with anniversaries and cuckoos. And then later on, as far as timekeeping for the person, he gave me Timex, which is just changing the guts, not really repairing anything, but just changing the guts. And that's what I did for him for 2 years. He insisted on keeping the really quality watches, whether they be wrist watches or pocket watches or, novelty clocks, those things that were very fine timekeepers. He kept all that to himself. And that's okay by me because he had already given me enough work to keep up. And that was the division of labor, so to speak, and it was just me and him, the whole shop, for 2 years. And I enjoyed it immensely. As I told Donna earlier, setting four clocks in the small space of the kitchen, it really is no problem. I later worked for other jewelers who, behind a counter, and people would come in all day long and want you to set their watches all day long, want you to change their batteries. And so you get really comfortable with different kinds of things and the way things are done differently by different manufacturers in order to set them, you know. And you after a while, and I worked, for the next 12 to 14 years, I don't know how much of that would count, but doing that. And you come to a place where you have no fear, and you'll tackle anything. KK4JBQ.
Well, that's interesting. I think you and I think a lot of the same about clocks. When I was growing up, there was always a cuckoo clock in the house, always. And if you were ever awake at night and the cuckoo clock went off, you knew the next day what hour of the night you were awake, right? Like it might be 3 o'clock in the morning. If you were awake and you heard, and the cuckoo clock was clearly the other side of the house in the family room. And you could hear it when it was quiet inside. It wasn't like houses today. It was, when it was nighttime, you could hear the animals rustling outside, right? It was quiet back then. And every time you were awake at night, you could hear the cuckoo clock going off, and you knew what hour it was that you were awake. And if you heard it at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you knew you didn't get a good night's sleep that night. But my dad was always the maintainer of the cuckoo clock until I did get to a point in time where he taught me how to maintain it, and it wasn't just pulling the two chains up that pulls up the weights. What you had to do, being German, they're really meticulous about mechanical things, right? The Germans are. And he would, when he would pull the one chain that pulls the counterweight up, he would lift the counterweight, so you weren't putting a lot of load on the bearing, you know, radial load on the bearing, not actual load, but radial load. He'd remove that load and rewind that weight all the way to the top for each one of those two while relieving the stress on it so the bearings would last longer. And I guess that's probably part of the reason why we had cuckoo clocks in our house the whole time we were growing up, at least one cuckoo clock. I remember my aunt coming back from over there one time, and she brought him a new cuckoo clock. And that was kind of a big deal because all the way up in that point in time, we only had one cuckoo clock. And then at that point in time, we had two. But it was kind of a cool thing. We don't have any. I haven't had any in my adult life, but I do miss the cuckoo clocks every now and then. W4DJW and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net back to KK4JBQ.
I just think clock repair, clocks in general, are fascinating things. A real testament to the ingenuity of mankind. We used to do it with a stick in the ground, which would be like a really crude sundial. And then came along all the mechanics, and then came all the electronics, and now with the internet, as you suggested earlier, clocks set themselves forward and back. Now, we have a number of those in the house too, but we have so many, what you might say, legacy clocks. And I have one mantle clock that my dad gave me as a wedding gift. And I packed it in a properly sized suitcase for protection, and it's padded all around. It hasn't run since that day he gave it to me. Partly because it's not terribly fragile, but it's not that repairable anymore, you know. So I don't know. Do you have anything like that that's just so important to you that you don't want it to wear out, even if it is that it doesn't run? Serious. Anyhow, that's the only mantle clock we have, and I enjoy pocket watches. I don't have any, but I enjoy repairing them. They're big enough that it's easy to keep up with the type of movement it is and what can go seriously wrong, and how it's easier to fix pocket watches than it is just practically any other, especially a wristwatch, especially a lady's wristwatch. I'm talking mechanical. Even the electronic watches, they're a bit finicky. And it must be absolutely right. It tells on itself, if it's not just exactly right, it tells on itself every day, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was part of the maintenance of the cuckoo clocks was actually, once you get them rewound, then you check the time and you make sure that you got the time just right. And it had an adjustment on there. If it was constantly getting slower, there was a little adjustment that you could make that would make it go just a little bit faster. And if it was constantly getting faster, there's an adjustment that you could make that would make it go a little bit slower. And they were coarse grain, not fine grain. So that actually the moment was coarse grain, but what it was turning was fine grain. Anyway, it was interesting. I do have two things that were hand-me-downs that I don't mess with at all anymore. I think one of my cousins has one of them. That was a Savage 12 gauge that was my grandfather's, my father's father's. It was handed down to him. I did shoot it when I was a lot younger, a good bit, but then I got to the point where I didn't want to do that anymore, and I kept it stored over at my parents' house. And I think one of my cousins came by and picked that up. And then my grandfather's pocket watch, you know, the kind that slides down in your pocket, the extra little pocket that has for a pocket watch. And I don't have that thing worked on. I just keep it just like it was. It's, you know, the only thing, well, I do have my uncle's wallet and some of his things that he had in his wallet. He passed away in a car accident when he was 20, and I was only a couple of months old. So I never really got to meet him. So I've got a few artifacts like that. But the mechanical things, the pocket watch and the Savage 12-gauge shotgun, that one of my cousins has it right now at the moment. I'd have to run it down. But that's the only thing that I can think of that I've got in storage that I do not want. I don't have any desire to have them worked on. I just want them to be able to pass them on along and just keep that going, keep that chain going. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
More, so check for check-ins there, Dave.
Good idea. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Do we have any other stations that would like to check into the net called W4DJW?
November 0, Tango Romeo. My name is Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you, Dave, and thanks for calling the net. Good evening to you and all others on the net. And I'll be negative and negative, and I'll say, hey, Chris, but I don't know if he's still there.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize N0TR. That's Tom, who came up for a breather from CW. Good to have you with us tonight, Tom. Late's better than not at all. Appreciate you taking time to check in and tell Miss Bernice we said hello. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet? I would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net called W4DJW. Looks like that's the only second shifter for now, Larry. KK4JBQ, W4DJW. Back to you.
You know, I'm really glad that we're on this train of thought here because, frankly, telling on myself again, it's been a long time since I've thought about that mantle clock that's in the suitcase. It's moved with me into three different dwellings over time. It's never been out of that suitcase. It's never run. I'm confident that it's okay. But son of a gun, you know, it doesn't have a great value, an intrinsic value. It doesn't. But the fact that my dad gave it to me, and he had a collection, I think he counted once, just he kept trading them, you know, trading this one for that one and buying a new one in the meantime. And, you know, he had 38 of these things. And he tried to keep them all going in one house. Two floors, but one house. And some of them had silencers that you could silence the striking, and most of them didn't. So while your cuckoo was going off, he wouldn't set the time exactly on these things, you see. So let's say it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he played with this, you know, like it was a challenge or something. So the clocks would start in my mom and dad's bedroom, okay? There was one in there, and it would start in there. And then there was one in the kitchen, and then there was one in the dining room, and there was, in the living room, there was like 7 or 8 of them, along with a tall clock, a really pretty weight-driven thing. And then it would go into the other bedrooms of the house. There was a den, and there he had clocks in there. And he didn't want them all shining at once. He wanted the clocks running just a little behind the previous clock so that it would chime, and then the other one would chime, and then the other, you know what I'm saying? So you'd have 15 minutes of chiming. KK4JBQ.
Well, I don't know if those clocks are the same as the cuckoo clock on how they chime, but the cuckoo clock, at the bottom of any hour, you got one cuckoo. Right? So you knew it was something 30 in the middle of the night if it went off. Or if it was the middle of the day and you were doing homework and you heard the cuckoo clock, you knew what time it was, you know, whatever time of the day. But I remember it mostly at nighttime when I didn't sleep. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, it'd cuckoo one time. And at 2 o'clock, you'd get two cuckoos. And at 3, you'd get 3 and 4 and 5 and all the way till noon. And then it'd start all over again. And with the bottom of the hour always being a single cuckoo. So I guess at 10, 11, 12 o'clock, it probably did last 15 minutes.
It was something to live through. You know, but really, if you can live, and I did once upon a time when we were kids, I lived near a railroad track. And if you can live with a railroad track and trains, these were freight trains, and they quite often just pass on through. None of them stopped. There was no place to stop. So they just went on through, and they would howl their train whistle, you know. I didn't know until later that it's a little bit like CW. That is to say, they have a certain number of toots. I don't know what else to say. Whatever. They could speak in a code. Trains did. Now, somebody's going to say, well, Larry, that's not what it's called. It's not called toots. Anyway, but what I mean by bringing that up is that you learn to live with it, you know? I can look back, and it was nothing to sleep through all these clocks going off every hour. And yes, they did, quite a few of them chime on the half hour also. Actually, his clocks would not chime. That's reserved for clocks that, like a Westminster, it's Minster, I know, a Westminster chime clock. And we have one here in the sunroom. We have one that gives you a selection of four different chimes. These are chimes that simulate the announcement of an hour on a particular church. And it used to be there was a time, and in England especially, where you could tell what church was nearby by the chime that was played on the hour. Well, these chiming clocks are much like that. We have two of those in the house. We don't let the chimes go because, well, we just don't. You can turn them off easily. Anyhow, I got one other topic that I'd like to discuss briefly, and maybe, you know, checking on more check-ins would be appropriate before I can do that. KK4JVQ.
Okay, I'll get them at the end of this volley before I hand it back to you. When you were talking about the trains and their blowing their whistle, we lived a lot of different places around here in between moving north and south. We lived in Clemson twice and over off of Lawrence Road one time. And most of it was off of Strange Road in a neighborhood called Avon Park that was where Eastside High School is, not too far from where you live, where Eastside High School is, where Brusher Creek crosses over, Strange Road crosses over Brusher Creek right out there at the front entrance to Eastside. If you take the west leg of Strange Road and you go perpendicular to Brush Creek, that goes down a really steep hill, and up the other side comes to Avon Park. That's not far from Twin Bridges. Twin Bridges has two sets of dual railroad tracks. Right? So there's four railroad tracks that goes under Twin Bridges. Twin Bridges is on White Hampton. There's a nursery where you get flowers and stuff called Twin Bridges. And it's over there where that Roadhouse, Steakhouse is in that area. But when it was going to rain, from Avon Park to Twin Bridges, you could hear the train's whistle blowing. I mean, and you could hear the engine on the trains. The engine's pulling and the whistle's blowing. And that, I'd get home from work really late, like 10, 11 o'clock, and I was too tired to go right to bed. So sometimes I'd lay out on the hood of the car and look up at the stars and listen to that train. Those were some of the best times, Larry. Listen, I don't know what it is about a train and it blowing its whistle, and you hear the engine roar, right? And you hear the wheels rolling on the steel from that distance. And when it was going to rain, it was like they were right there next to you. And when it wasn't going to rain, you could hear them, but it was off at a distance. That was a really good time. I wouldn't want to go back to those days, but those are days that I really look back on and smile. Appreciate you bringing that memory out. Are there any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
Control. N4NLR, November 4, nothing like radio. Name here is Jim, Juliet, India, Mike. Location, Greenville, South Carolina. Please check me in and out. Good evening, everybody on the net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize N4NLR. That is Jim from Greenville, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Jim. You're sounding good. Appreciate you taking the time to check in. Back to you, Larry, KK4JBQ. This is W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
For DJW, KK4JBQ. Well, the last thing, and I promise, I do my best to promise that this will be the last thing I bring up tonight. When I say the word vinyl, what does it say to you?
So it could be one of two things. Vinyl was very popular when I was growing up for, like, insides of upholstery for cars and dune buggies and stuff like that, a vinyl top on your hard top or that kind of stuff. But more than that, and especially since I just finished this contracting job that I had for the Vandersteen preamp, vinyl is records, and records are coming back. Vinyl records are like the thing now, and they're not cheap at all, getting back into vinyl records, and the quality just cannot be beat.
Ding, ding, ding. You win the prize on the second guess. So I have had in my possession and in storage pretty decent deck and amp and speakers and a few hundred records. Now, some of them are not even open. They're not organized in any sense of that word. But so much, and I like to research anything before, you know, I spend a lot of time on it before I... And all that does for me, at least, it whets my appetite. I get reinvigorated, you might say. So a lot has changed from, oh, goodness, last time I was playing any phonograph records on an actual turntable. It's over 20 years anyway. And a lot's changed. One thing, you know, that I have... I do understand now that only very, very expensive turntables have any value at all. most of the mid-range even, turntables are not built as well as the vintage turntables of 30 years ago. But you pay a price. And record albums, goodness, if you are really serious about collecting anything... If you'd already have a few hundred, as I'm fortunate to have and have moved with me over, you know, the various moves, those things are pricey. If they're unplayed, unopened, and of a first press, you know, I mean, they're graded much like, you know, like baseball cards. And collecting vinyl is an expensive proposition, you know, really. I don't know if I have anything that's collectible, but I do know that I have stuff that I've listened to before and enjoyed. What has changed greatly, and maybe you can speak to this point, depending on your interest in all this, is keeping your records in good shape. Cleaning records has become an art form. KK4JBQ.
Larry, I don't have any anymore, but working with those guys that do that every day, you know, 5 days a week for 6 months, and them telling me about, so the guy that got me into it is, they call them audiophiles, and he was a big one, and he knew, I knew him because we were both architects at Bank of America, and we were programmers before we were architects. And so, and he was an audiophile, so he knew this guy that he sent his amp back to have it worked on, and he got to know the guy that was working on it pretty good. And then they said they're coming out with a new amp, but they don't, they want to upgrade from a PIC controller to a microprocessor. And they had a guy that started off on it, but he had a problem getting it done. And so he recommended I got in there. And the reason I'm telling you this is because he was really, you know, he was like you're talking about, up on how audio works. And the guy that I was working with, well, anytime anybody had any problems, they sent their stuff back to him. And he also did the initial work on new equipment. And one of the things that they were telling me about is how sensitive the LPs were in the turntables and how much air that the speakers that are really, really heavy speakers that are bolted to the concrete floor and with a concrete floor that needs to be at least 2 feet deep of concrete. Because what happens is if you try to push something hard across the floor and you don't have like rubber shoes on, you just have like socks on, your feet go backwards and the heavy thing doesn't, the air is the same way. So they bolt these really heavy speakers to the floor, and it's to a floor that has got a lot of concrete underneath of it. And they were explaining to me that when you, and it's a home theater, and it's these guys that have a lot more money than they have, they know what to do with it. But they, like in the movie Top Gun, when an airplane would go by, and they'd shoot bullets at each other, you could, when you're sitting in the theater with these speakers, right, and the bullets go flying by, you feel the wind on the side of your head as the bullet goes by your head. I mean, that's how much. I guess you've seen the pictures also of the guys with the boom boxes in the cars, and there's a girl with really long hair, and her hair is going flipping straight up in the air with every beat of the speakers. It's that kind of thing. But most of these guys, they don't listen to that kind of music, right? They might do the movies. They like movies, but they like turntables and records and high-quality audio better than that. And one of the things that they told me that can differentiate between whether it's a really good audio system and a good turntable is that if it's a recorded live audience, that if the recording is really good and the quality of the turntable is really good, that you can hear people passing gas out in the audience. That's how good it is. That's how the quality of it. I know that's kind of ridiculous, but that's how the mic can pick up everything, and all of that gets funneled back into the LP, and you can actually hear that on the LP when they're playing the record back. So that's pretty sensitive, Larry. KK4JVQ, W4DJW, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
What a way to make, to make a description of an event come alive. Oh, dear. Well, I don't know. I like being a hack, you know. I like knowing about a lot of things, but no, I'm not an expert in many things at all. I'll take it that I'm an expert in repairing watches and clocks. I did that for so many years. And other things I just don't, you know, we shouldn't wear it on our chests, you might say. But there's some things you don't mind talking to somebody else about because it's been, a great experience of yours, right? And there's one recording that I made personally which shocked me. It shocked me how good, how clear, how moving it was. It puts me right back there. And oddly enough, and I don't mean to be morose about this at all, is my father's funeral. And I recorded this clandestinely, you might say. I'd only recently read about people recording live concerts on mini disc. And these are digital recordings done on very small discs and manufacturer trade names or anything like that. But a lot depends on the microphone. The recording medium does have something to do with, oh, for sure, but the microphone has got to be good. The placement of the mic has got to be right. And if it is, then realism is greater. And this thing, I could hear, this was outside, it was a graveside service, and it was outside, I could hear the birds singing in the trees on that recording. And the trees were quite a distance away. I didn't realize it at the time. But after you listen later, and other things are not in your field of view, you know, people and other things that keep your attention, I was startled to hear the birds. I wanted to record the words of the gentleman who officiated. My father was the son of a Baptist minister and was forced to go to church every Sunday, be there with the entire family. And he rejected that later in life. He was at church rarely. My sister and I, who arranged the funeral, had to seek out somebody who could preach a good sermon on a funeral and not even knowing the man. You know what I'm saying? That was tough. We sat with him, both my sister and I sat with him, and he had some very good questions, some probing questions about my dad. You know, who was this man? Because he was going to, if you've ever been to a funeral like this, with a Baptist funeral, then it gets pretty personal at times. It can get personal. So he wanted to say some things about my dad that were things we could recall. So I appreciated that interview only because maybe because he was interested. He was very interested, had good reason to be. And he repeated those things, and he chose a poem called The Dash at the funeral, and I have that recording, and I've listened to it many times. The Dash is that thing that comes between your birthday and your death day. If that's inscribed on, say, a tombstone or something like that, the dash is what's in between. And his suggestion was that the life you live is in between those two dates. And it's something I like to listen to. Well, that little recorder, nothing more than it was. I got it on eBay, you know. I don't know. Didn't get more than $20 for it. It was astounding how clear and how it put you right back there because of the ambiance that it recorded. And it was covered up by my coat. I had it in my shirt pocket, covered up by a coat. It was kind of a breezy day. So clear. Now, KK4JBQ.
Well, Larry, I don't think it's that unusual. I know the most recent one that I went to, funeral that I went to, my father-in-law's funeral, they recorded that too just because everybody couldn't be there, right? So I don't think it's that unusual for them to do that. Because there are people that want to participate, but they just can't do it at that point in time, especially when your family's spread out all over the place. So I don't think it's that unusual. But that is pretty good for a recorder to be able to pick up like that. But you also think about, you know, the ones with the mics outside that have the big fuzzy head on top of them to break the wind up so that the wind doesn't make it all the way to the mic itself. Same effect. It's covered up by a lot of stuff too. So, but that what's one of the things I learned from the audio guys is every component is critical. I mean, if you have one, it's like a chain. It's like the weak link in the chain. The weakest link in the chain is the best audio that you can get. And so they concentrate on every single piece, every link in the chain, including when it's put to the final recording, Their ears are a lot better than mine. That's another thing. Their ears are really, really sensitive. So that's another thing that it takes. Like when I was, one of the things I learned about that is when you're learning a foreign language and people are teaching you how to enunciate the words, if you don't hear it right, you can't say it right. You know, you got to be able to hear it. And that's the way it is with really high quality audio. You might be thinking you're hearing the high quality audio, but there may be somebody with better hearing that's actually hearing a higher quality than you're able to hear. KK4JVQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
KK4JVQ. Well, at least in my experience and in my memory, sometimes the things that maybe it wasn't so great, but if it's your memory, nostalgia will put a shine on anything. I'm sure it does. I don't care what it is. So I can remember the first time I ever put headphones on. The only reason I knew how to use it was because they were displayed in this high-end audio place that was in my hometown. It's fairly new, and the decor was unfamiliar to me. You know, you had all this high-end audio gear and whatnot, but they chose to display their headphones on little, I don't know if they were styrofoam or whatever they were, but they were heads, like you'd see in a department store with a hat on it or something. So they got a bunch of these heads, and they put all these headphones on there, and the little sign read, try it out. So I did. And this memory is something I wouldn't take anything for this. I put those headphones on, and what was playing? When I put headphones on for the first time, it was Ian and Sylvia. If you remember that husband and wife group, folk singers back some years ago, I think they were Canadians. But they made it big with several of their songs. Oh, maybe it was in the 70s or 80s. That was what I heard first, and I was shocked. I mean, I was drooling, I suppose, with how good that sounded. KK4JBQ.